I really try to think of like yesterday is yesterday, tomorrow is tomorrow, and today is today. You're proud to look back at everything you've done and you know that's made you who you are, but you're not going to linger there. There's more to do.
This is the Pursuit of Wellness podcast, and I'm your host, Mari Llewellyn. Hello, welcome back to the show. Today I am joined with Christian Guzman. He is a legend in the fitness industry, one of the OGs. He's a creator, he's a founder, he's now a husband. And if you haven't heard of him, I highly recommend you guys check out his story. He is really big on YouTube and has done a lot in the fitness industry. He was a really an OG inspiration for Greg and I when it came to our business. And he has had such an interesting journey just through the fitness industry. He started as a Gymshark athlete and then, you know, began his own company, Alphalete. He's now the founder of Alpha Land, one of the biggest, most insane gyms I think I've ever been to in Texas, Sugarland, Texas. We talk about his and Heidi Summers' love story, also known as Buff Bunny. You will have just heard her episode launch on Monday. Christian gets really vulnerable with us and talks about his struggle with Adderall addiction, which I think is a really important discussion to have. I think so many people struggle with that and it isn't spoken about very often. He also talks about his 10 goals for the next few years, being the face of his company and what wellness means to him. This is a really in-depth conversation and I really appreciate Christian going as deep as he did with us today. He said it was one of his favorite interviews he's ever done, which I was so honored. Without further ado, let's hop into this conversation with Christian. Christian?
Hello.
Welcome to the Pursuit of Wellness.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like you don't do a ton of podcasts other than Max's, right?
Yeah, I don't get asked too much. Or if I do, I don't know. I just have to kind of know the person or have some association to want to do it, you know? And Heidi had nothing but good things to say about doing this one. And I was like, all right, let's do it.
I'm honored. I figured Heidi put in a good word for me. Yeah. I was like, Christian said yes. I'm honored. Thank you. I want to give everyone a little bit of context because for me and my husband, you really paved the way for fitness influencers back in 2016-17. I know you started so long ago, but when I got into the industry, there weren't many people creating brands outside of, you know, merch or, you know, doing sponsorships. You guys, you and Heidi, were one of the first people to create brands kind of like outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's so impressive what you've done. I mean, you are the founder of Alphalete, Alpha Land, 3D Energy, and you're still making content.
Yeah.
Is that everything?
Summer Shredding, the Bodybuilding League.
And Summer Shredding.
Yeah.
Insane.
Thank you.
I mean, I want to ask you about that because I feel like you've accomplished so much and you just keep going. So I want to get into the mindset of all that. For people who don't know you, I'd love to start at the beginning. Mm. How did this all get going?
Like, okay, so childhood, real quick, very quiet, very shy, very to myself. I wasn't good at sports, but I loved basketball. I wanted to be in the NBA. So I was like, okay, in order to make basketball, you have to do cross country. You have to do all the things in football to get in with the coaches. So I did it. And that was my first like taste being on a team. It was like the first taste of, just like some confidence for myself. And then after eighth grade, going to high school, I was my same height now. So like 5'11 and a half at 115 pounds. So now I'm like 200 and whatever, but that was just a very, very skinny, you know, I going into high school, all these girls are so much older and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to put on some muscle, man. Like that was it. And so, I started training 3 times a week, at like this, it was a class where you go to and you'd be instructed like, but it was for sports. It wasn't to look good, but I started getting a little bigger. And I just got hooked with fitness. So, like, then I joined a rock band and, like, my confidence sort of started just coming up a little bit. Like, I wasn't the loud one in the room at any moment of my life, but I was, like, a listener, I guess. And then I would just get really obsessed with, like, certain things and only be very good at things that I really liked and terrible at things I didn't like. I just wouldn't do that.
It reminds me of my husband. He has ADHD.
Yeah.
And he gets so zoned in on projects, but it makes him a really good entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So when did the YouTube begin?
2012.
Oh my God, I was a senior. Well.
Yeah, I graduated. Well, I graduated 2011.
We're the same age, I think.
30.
29.
Yeah.
Okay, so you started vlogging when I was a senior in high school.
Yeah, yeah. Because at that time, I was just like, by the time I was a senior, I was kind of the, because I was watching so many people on YouTube, the fitness guys and everything, and I was kind of just taking that knowledge in and just like rehashing it and repeating it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of became the guru, right? And that was like, to me, it was like, holy, people are coming to me for something, like asking me about stuff. So, you know, naturally, like I already kind of felt that. And maybe that translated to when I started my channel, like my first few hundred subscribers, like I felt like it was a continuation of like the guy I had already become.
Yeah.
You know, even it was like a tiny scale in my high school, but like that was, I don't know, the fitness guy, you know? So yeah. I put Christian Uzon Fitness as my name, you know, and I named myself that.
So who were you watching?
Greg Plitt was number one. Mm-hmm. So he was like, he was the one that really brought the motivation factor to me and like kind of the mindset. But other than that, for actual fitness, it was like Matt Ogus. It was Chris Jones, Physiques of Greatness. That was his YouTube channel. That's really it. There's only like five people, really.
I feel like what really set you apart was that motivation factor. And I really enjoyed that as a viewer and the cinematic element of it. I think actually you know Matt Como, who's a close friend of mine and Greg's. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that the energy that you put into those videos and still, I feel like you've changed a little bit lately. Like you have your new channel, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of crazy that the whole cinematic, like I love that stuff. I love telling a story and like but obviously like something like that takes a lot of time to create.
Yeah.
And when I first met Matt Como, it's funny because I literally had this idea for summer shredding. I wanted to make a YouTube series. I wanted to get people to like just for no dollars or anything, just enter a competition. So we had 30,000 people sign up and like enter. But it was because I wanted the best video. I wanted somebody who was just like an unreal. I needed the best in the world.
Yeah.
So I was just like, this is also the era where it was like all these travel vlogs were happening, and like the camera cinematography kind of like started coming up, and like Matt Como's videos were like, holy, these are like, I remember watching those 3 to 5 minute like things and being like, mind blown.
Was he doing travel back then?
He was. So it'd be like Egypt or like Peru, or it'd be like whatever, Bali, and he'd go and like, you know, film really epic 3 to 5 minute videos.
We didn't know him during that era. When I think of Matt Como, I think of like the Lamborghini. He's doing all this car stuff now.
Oh yeah.
And Justin Bieber.
Yeah. That's like that was after me and Matt kind of.
Insane.
Yeah. But Matt's video like really changed the trajectory. I feel like that leveled everything up so much. And so every year we kind of would get back together for a few years and like kind of make a banger
you know,
kickoff video.
It's interesting to me how like creative you are, because you clearly are so business oriented as well. Do you feel like you lean more on the branding creative side or the
creative?
Really? Well, that's me too.
Finding out now, because I mean, years ago I'd be like, oh, business, because it sounds cool.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a businessman. You know, but then you get a little humbled the more, you know, experience you have in business. And I think that it takes some humbling times to kind of, you know, actually make you feel like you're starting to build up some credibility.
Mm.
Like a lot of times when I get asked business questions, I almost feel like I shouldn't answer them, because it's like, I can tell you what I did, but by no means am I saying you should repeat what I'm about to say. It's a different time.
And I feel like it can't be repeated.
It can't.
Everyone's so different and the trajectory of every business is so different. I'm the same as you. I tend to lean on the branding creative content side, which is where my husband comes in, because he's obsessed with the marketing and the behind the scenes stuff. So you kind of need to just find your people to fill in those gaps.
Yeah.
When did you... Okay, I want to talk about the t-shirts.
Okay.
CG.
I was going to add in when you're on a rocket ship though.
Yeah.
And like you're on a rocket ship of like this... there's so much demand and you're just trying to like stay afloat, I guess. It's like you end up kind of leaving, you know, things behind and things unattended to, because like in the moment that they feel so small, and they will take you away from like the bigger movement, forward movement that we want to keep pushing forward for, right?
100%.
So that's like my 20s wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, same with us. Like Greg and I were self-funded until literally like a month ago.
Oh,
so
wow.
Fully all in, and we didn't really have a roadmap. Like, I'm sure you felt the same way. There's no one really to tell you
and
what to
each
do.
Each business has a completely different roadmap.
Yeah, apparel, supplements, it's so different. So we were just kind of trying to survive the whole time and keep up with the growth.
Yeah.
But then when we sat down and we were getting, you know, we sold 20% of our company recently, they were like, oh, you really need...
That's something I'm really... Like, that's something that... for a few years now, it's kind of been brought to my attention. I was being like, no. But now it's like, as I'm getting smarter, more skilled, it's like, you know what? I'm open to actually hearing these conversations now. I'm sure we could talk for like a whole day.
I should connect you with Greg, because we were so anti partnering with anyone for so long. We were like, no, we're doing this ourselves. But then we hit a point where we want to do
other things,
beverage.
Yeah.
So we don't know how to do that. So we partnered with someone who knows how.
Mm.
And now we feel like we have this plan for expansion and people kind of helping us like fill in the gaps. And also retail is such a different
beverage
beast.
Is going to take you crazy. That's going to be a wild ride.
I am always on the go to the gym, horseback riding, traveling, and I always like to bring my skincare with me because I have very acne-prone skin, and I only have one brand that I really trust at this point, and that is Clear Stem Skincare. You guys have heard me talk about it a million times. They combine all three categories, anti-acne, anti-aging, and clean, meaning free of hormone disruptors and pore clogging ingredients. Guys, you have to be so careful with skincare nowadays. It can say it's clean and acne safe, but really it's full of pore cloggers. So I'm very cognizant of that. I love the two co-founders, Danielle and Kaylee. They have both had acne as well. So they know what it feels like and they know what to focus on, which means the world to me because as someone with acne, I feel like I can only trust other people who have been through it too. I have a few favorites from Clear Stem. I love the Gentle Cleanser. I love the UR Sunshine Sunscreen. I've been using the Sulfur Spot treatment recently and it's incredible. And I've also been using the non-pore clogging body moisturizer lotion. You guys ask me all the time for lotion advice. That is my new favorite. And it also like soaks into the skin really, really nicely. I also always talk about their acne lab test on their website. It helps thousands of people get to the root cause of their acne through comprehensive lab testing and lifestyle-based recommendations. I think it's possibly the greatest thing that they've ever done. I think it's such an important part of healing your acne. You guys can visit clearstemskincare.com and use code POW, P-O-W, at checkout for 20% off your purchase. Again, that's code POW for 20% off your purchase on clearstemskincare.com. You guys know that Greg and I just moved into our new house in Austin and we are building out a wellness room and we have the greatest new addition from Plunge, which is the Plunge All-In. You guys know I love cold plunging. It has made such a big change for me with my mental health, my recovery, my sleep, my inflammation. You can transform your wellness routine and your life with the most revolutionary plunge yet. The All-In features powerful cooling down to 37 degrees Fahrenheit, smartphone connectivity for ultimate control, and a sleek exterior designed to inspire. The All-In-One design offers a truly plug-and-plunge setup and makes maintenance a breeze thanks to an easy-access filter. Enjoy pure ice-cold water that's ready to go in whenever you are all in. Cold plunging has so many benefits, whether you're an athlete or just someone trying to improve their life overall. When I track my sleep, I notice a dramatic difference in my HRV when I cold plunged the day before. It's actually incredible. And Greg has seen such benefits as well. It's a staple in our household. So go to plunge.com and get your incredible cold plunge today. You can use code POW for $150 off your purchase at plunge.com. Please use code POW, P-O-W, at plunge.com. It's seriously the best investment you could ever make. I want to talk about when you made your t-shirts and you were selling them at Gymshark booths.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Okay, so I became a Gymshark athlete in 2013, I think it was, maybe 14. But that was a dream. Like when I was on YouTube, especially the first few years, it was like the guys I was watching, you know, and looking up to were Gymshark athletes, right? And they were traveling, they were going to the UK and going to Body Power. And this little Mexican kid from Houston was like, that'd be dope. Like, that'd be cool, you know? And so I started buying the stringers and started taking pictures of myself in them and, you know, posting them at Gymshark, you know.
Just for everyone who doesn't know, stringers are like tiny tank tops.
Yeah, tiny tank tops that show, funny story, they're tiny tank tops that like show a lot of chest and they show a lot of back.
Yeah.
It's like a little thin strap of fabric in the back, but I didn't feel like I was big enough to wear them. So I wore a wife beater underneath the stringer.
What?
Yeah, and then I would take the photos.
Stop.
I swear.
I need to see that. We're going to add that on B-roll
it's
for
like
sure.
It's a blue stringer, but that picture hit off and like that's what got me noticed by Gymshark. And then I became a sponsored athlete. And then when I kind of became an athlete, that really opened my eyes to like, wow, no one's fucking trying.
Yeah.
Why are y'all athletes not trying? I'm going to try. And so like, I was like, okay, it's like no one was doing photo shoot. And anytime someone did put some effort in, like they were on the website, they were rewarded. So I was like, okay, I'm obviously going to get my own camera and like I'm going to book photographers. I'm going to like do that. Why would I not? I want to be on the website.
I love that you say that. I love that you say that.
And it's like, so I did. And then all of a sudden it was like, I was the main face. And it was for a few years. And all the meanwhile, like as I'm working on Athlete and being open about this with the owners, mm-hmm. Ben and Lewis, and they were both so supportive of other entrepreneurs that before Athlete, it was CG Fitness merch.
Yeah.
So they would, you know, they literally invited me to bring a suitcase from Houston with my shirts, sell them at the Gymshark booth as I was meeting my fans, as long as I was wearing a Gymshark t-shirt. I'm like, that's incredible.
That's
I made like
cool.
$7,000 or something that day. I was like, oh my God, like this is crazy. Like, but it's just like that mentality really, I've locked onto that mentality, even though like times have changed. I'm sure that probably wouldn't happen now, and even like we probably wouldn't want that at Alpha. The times have changed, but like you can latch on to certain like nuggets, and I think that nugget is such a true like that's sort of the whole with my wife Heidi, with my best friend Max. Like we kind of built this like we're all doing our own things, and it's just this like I don't know, we're all succeeding, and we all keep doing better. So
totally, I feel like it. We had a similar trajectory where it was this kind of a golden era in the fitness industry and on social media where you could explode, but also you had to have that tenacity. Like I could think of so many people from that time that didn't take advantage.
There's like only a few survivors.
Literally.
Yeah,
literally,
call them survivors.
Only a few survivors. Yeah, exactly.
But that's like business too.
And I feel like taking advantage and seeing the ability to become the face of Gymshark and then do your own thing, I really encourage people to do that now if they're listening. Even with the PDF guides, like when Greg and I developed those back in 2017, we're like, why isn't everyone doing this?
Yeah.
This is insane.
Well, you know, the wild thing is like, I just lost it. I was gonna play off of something you just said. I remember. It's wild how once you get into these spaces, mm-hmm. how simple it is. When you just realize other people just aren't acting.
Yeah.
Everybody has the information. There's a blueprint laid out of how to do this, how to do that. We can say a million times, you have to post twice a day. You have to, whatever, like you have to provide it. But the percent, the people that I will follow through are the successful people. It's literally that clear.
I think it's a matter of people waiting to be given permission.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really think that there's this problem.
Were you ever like that?
Waiting for permission. I think before my fitness journey. Mm. So I don't know how much you know of my story, but I lost 90 pounds in 2017. And that's when I discovered you and Heidi and everyone like coming up in that era. And I became obsessed with bodybuilding. And I feel like going through that and realizing I could do pretty much anything, yep. That's when you're like, oh, shoot. Like, I really don't need anyone's permission. I didn't have a business degree.
I have so many goosebumps right now. Because like what you're saying right now is that was like that. For me, I was actually all in school. I was a copycat. I would cheat on everything. I would because I had no confidence in my own answers ever. I was a big drawer, so I would look at the other artists and like I would just literally go and sit next to their desk and like try to watch them to try to copy them. I just wanted to become a very good copycat in art and then in fitness. I wanted to talk like Greg Plitt. I was copying everything that I thought I wanted to become. And eventually when you try to copy something, you end up finding your form.
I love that you say that because I do feel like there's a negative connotation with being a copycat. But at the same time, when you look up to the people who are doing it the best and you shoot for the stars, you end up kind of finding your own path.
100%. Maybe copycat's not the perfect word to
use. Yeah, I can't think of a better word.
But like maybe, I don't know, something like you have to have inspiration. But before, like, I think a lot of people will say, oh, it's okay to have an inspiration, but you need to put your own twist. It's like, okay, fair. But just get started. And if you're copying it first and like you're naturally your own twist is going to develop, but you have to just like not be so scared and not be so paralyzed.
Anything that gets you out the gate is better than nothing.
Correct.
I also feel like...
Congrats, that's amazing, 90 pounds. And like that's the summer shredding. That's actually my right now, apart from the businesses, Alpha and Alpha, like summer shredding is my passion project right now. That's like the... Because we have this class called the Transformation Class, which is one of the 8 classes that we offer.
I've seen it.
But it's like the whole show is just... We went from a bodybuilding show in 2018... to now last year was our first year doing like a league. So it was the Summer Shredding Community, the SSC. So it was 5 shows around the world and we took the top 3 of every single class and they got an opportunity to come to Houston for the final show and win like 130 grand and like a full sponsorship with Alphalete and like all this kind of stuff. So that's like the most impactful and rewarding because we play the transformation videos. Like we show 2 years ago, where were you? We have them answer like 10 questions and it's a video. You're showing old photos. And then as that video is playing, everyone's like immersed in it. And then you call your number and you walk out like looking how you do now. And it's just like while your before photos are on there and it's just the whole stage like erupts. It's just crazy.
So emotional.
So emotional.
The transformation part of like... The journey is so, like, even when I talk about it now.
That's the fuel to your whole life.
Yeah. It changed everything for me. Like, it changed my whole work ethic. It changed, I wouldn't have a company. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't go through that. So I applaud you for that. On the bodybuilding topic, I'm so curious, with everything that you've accomplished, what about competing brings you back? Like, why do you keep doing the shows?
For the people, 100%. Like, it's not so much like maybe it's a little piece of me wanting to get on stage for myself. But the truth is, like, I've proven to myself that every time I say I'll do it, I'll do it. And I'll bring the best fact. You know, I know I will. So now it's like, but before the summer shredding, the shows were a way for me. Like, I've won first place or second. I qualified to go, like, try to get a pro card so many times, like, probably 5-6 times in my whole life. But only this year I actually tried to go to that level because I would always just do it to test myself and to set into film the whole process. Wow. So I would, you know, lose 30, 40 pounds in a season and document every single day and let people, that's summer shredding. So that's why we called everything summer shredding.
Talking to you now, I can see how passionate you are about bodybuilding and also about film. And I feel like that combined makes a prep just like a cinematic.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, I'm looking forward to, I would even like take time off filming because I was like, you know what? We got to be quiet for a bit because we're coming back hard. like, and just like on purpose because it's, I don't know. And then I'd be like, all right, Matt Como, when are you coming down? Like, let's come in. I'm going to go, I'm just not going to post anything for 4 months. And then I'd just be like, then we come out with a banger video after 4 months.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's how, even nowadays, that's how you create hype.
Yeah.
But I wasn't filming because I was filming the epic video, you know? It's like, I wasn't intentionally kind of planning out these like hypes and things, but it happened like that.
It's like when you sell out of a product and then the hype for it gets higher and higher and higher.
Yeah. Then you order too much inventory, then you have leftovers and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. That happened to us so many times. When we first launched Greens, we couldn't afford to keep enough in stock and we kept selling out. But it ended up creating this like hype around them, you know? Yeah. With the bodybuilding, with the last show, how did you feel like, was that your best package? And then how was the like follow up from that? Like, how have you been recovering from that show?
Yeah. So this last year was like the toughest. Because I always look forward to these like seasons and like in my head, I'm like, okay, this is going to be peak content. This is going to be peak like interest. But over the years, it's kind of been like that summer shredding phase will be less impactful. And it's almost like everything's kind of neutralizing more, whether I'm prepping or not. But this last one was a 24 week prep. Which for me, I have a faster metabolism naturally, but my problem has been like putting weight on, so I can drop pretty quick. And so 24 weeks is a lot longer than I need. So I was really, I got way too lean at like, even like 8 weeks out, and I had to stay there for so long. And that really just messed my gut up, just messed, after my show, my lowest weight was 177. Within a week, I was 232.
Wow.
50 pounds.
Okay, wait. I have a question about that because I when I used to watch bikini preps and things, the rebound from shows, yeah. is it because you're just so ravenous that you start?
You're literally like sucked up. Like you're so sucked up. And but then also the duration of the prep will have an effect too.
Yeah.
The, like a 12 to 14 week prep, you can recover. Maybe for me, I could recover in 4 to 8 weeks, maybe. But the 24 week prep, I'm like finally getting my stride back right now, which is like 5 months later,
Oh my gosh.
Is like pretty crazy.
So you end up just kind of like binge eating afterwards.
Binge eating for like 2-3 weeks, but it's more so like your body's just hypersensitive to everything.
Yeah,
it feels like your skin's bursting, and like it's hard to breathe, especially like the week after. It's like painfully bad. Like it's gotten better every single year. Like the more shows under your belt, the post show is always like a little bit better.
Mm.
But no matter what, it's still a shock for your body to like, you know, go from so controlled to even if you just have a 2 days of, oh, whatever I want, yeah. it's like you're not ready for it.
Even times I've eaten super clean when I was losing weight or whatever, having a cheat meal, the reaction I would have was insane. So I can't even imagine after a 24-week prep.
Imagine like a all-out 2-week Egypt trip, full buffets, you know? But I almost like purposely I'm a very extremist with everything I do. So like if I'm going to diet, I'm going to diet hard. But then I'd never care about the rebound. I just let myself go all out because I know that I can recover mentally quicker if I let myself do that instead of like trying to restrict myself for like months and I have this like massive craving. I'll just like do whatever I want and then I'll, because I know I can control it and lose it later.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you mean.
So it's almost like the prep has taught me control.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Do you think you'll do it again?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but not this year, maybe in a year, 2 years, 3 years.
Oh my gosh.
But, yeah.
You have a quote that I think you coined years ago, proud but never satisfied.
Mm. Except with your wife. I'm happy with her.
Heidi's like, I freaking love that quote. I always have. I think you have it on the wall at Alphaland, right?
Yeah, got it right there.
Tell us like what that means for you.
Essentially, it means that I think it's very easy to accomplish a lot or accomplish something and then linger on it. And reward yourself for it and just kind of stay in that mindset. And I don't know, I really try to think of like yesterday is yesterday, tomorrow is tomorrow, and today is today. So it's like, I'll stop and like really appreciate the past and everything. The truth is like, I'm very good at, I'm going away from the proud, never satisfied. Essentially it's like, you're proud to look back at everything you've done and you know that's made you who you are, but you're not going to linger there. There's more to do.
When we moved into our new house in Texas, I made sure to deck out all the laundry rooms and bathrooms with my favorite cleaning products, which are by Branch Basics. You guys know by now, I'm incredibly ingredient conscious, and I'm very conscious around my pets, my skin. If you have kids, you really want to be careful about what you're using if they're crawling all over the floor. And Branch Basics is non-toxic, hypoallergenic, free of fragrance and hormone disruptors and harmful preservatives. It's baby and pet safe, clean and cost effective. Their premium starter kit will provide you with everything you need to replace all of your toxic cleaning products in your home. It's really a no-brainer. If you suffer from eczema, allergies, or asthma, or even acne, make the switch to Branch Basics. I have seen such a big difference. I only use Branch Basics laundry detergent because when I'm sleeping on my pillow every night, I want to make sure that I am not making my skin more irritated with something that has harmful hormone disruptors in it. I believe we're having the Branch Basics founder on the show soon, and I absolutely can't wait. I'm such a big fan of the product. You can save 15% and get free shipping on your starter kit when you use code POW, P-O-W, at www.branchbasics.com. Again, that is code POW, P-O-W, for 15% off plus free shipping when you purchase a starter kit. Do you feel like you are motivated by success or are you afraid of stopping? Does that make sense?
Not afraid of stopping, but I feel I owe it to everybody who supported me to not stop.
Mm.
Right? So it's like, it's crazy. I've like reverse engineered this fuel. But it's like, and now it's, how can I stop? I don't want to stop.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you feel like there would ever be a point where you're like, I'm good?
From businesses, yeah, because I found like that's actually the more taxing stuff for me.
Yeah.
People, right? Fire, like that's the start. I'm just like, this is not where I need to be putting my time and energy. So like that stuff, I can see myself extracting like a lot,
mm-hmm.
Especially when I'm older. But I think that like my dream life is going to be when if I'm 55, I've got Alfland running, but I have this like little, maybe like 3,000 square foot like area to train like group clients, just like I did when I was in high school. So I want to do that. And then I want to, on the weekends, do summer shredding shows. So like go fly out to like summer shredding shows.
So you almost want to revert back.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I completely understand where you're coming from. I feel like the managing of employees is actually really the hardest part of a business, yeah. For me anyway.
At times like you feel you can't be a good person and a good CEO. And those are the hard days.
Are you still the CEO of Alfleet?
All of them. Yeah.
Of all of them?
Yeah.
I want to ask you about Alfleet really quick.
Yeah, I'm starting to tell my yep.
yep. No, I relate to you so much. With Alfleet, with the whole Gymshark era, mm-hmm. like how do you view the competition with them now?
Man, that word competition, I'm such good friends with all the owners of mm-hmm. Young LA, of Gymshark, of like, and maybe this is me being naive and dumb, but like I'm literally, like I really try not to, because of how Gymshark initially, like that first interaction where they invited me to come and sell my shirts, like I'm gonna honor that because that has made me kind of who I am.
Yeah.
So I just look at Gymshark and I'm impressed, especially impressed, right? Impressed at how, if we're, you know, it's just they're years ahead and they've been through more and they've been stable. They've like kind of, they're healthy,
yeah.
Right? And if they're not as healthy from on the inside that they look like from the outside, we'll never know. But it's respect over there. Young LA, it's like the massive influxes they're getting of traffic and like, oh, just like, holy, it's like they're capitalizing respect.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't really, like, the competition, I will say though, with competition, like we have seen a dip in 23 from all the dupes, mm-hmm. right? That's some fuck you competition. But like that's different.
Well, we don't even know who those people are.
We don't even know those people are. Yeah. And it's like, that's no originality.
But the dupes come when you're killing it.
Yeah, exactly. And, and like you can't be, it's like, shut up. He's like, I just got to work on inventing the next thing.
Love it. The dupes come out when you're doing really well.
Yeah.
Suddenly there's all these greens coming out of left, right, and center.
Like 100 of them, right? And it's just like, and then you see the freaking, I'm sure with supplement companies, you'll see the ones where you can like brand, put your, I hate when I see like a really cool graphic and it's your brand name here. I'm like, is it that fucking easy now? It's like, it's that not meaningful now.
I know, but they won't do well long term.
They'll
sell
5 units.
100%.
Yeah.
Alpha Land. I remember seeing, I feel like it was the beginning of COVID or
around that. Matt video.
Yeah. And I remember hearing about Alpha Land, my husband and I talking about it. And I think we thought it was going to be a hotel. Like there was all these rumors.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying like, oh my God, Christian's crazy.
Yeah.
Everyone thought you were crazy.
I know.
And now
like
it's
2 years, three. My whole company at Alfleet staff had ended up like sitting me down towards the end. Like this is right before opening. This is like 2 months before opening. And just like they're, you know, they're, because keep in mind, to be fair, at this, during the time frame that I was building, I had to separate from the Alfleet office because the daily that could be handled elsewhere, like by management, I had to remove, and I worked at Alfland. I worked on Alfleet and Alfland at Alfland in the shack so by myself, right? Like that was
what is the shack?
It's a shack outside. It's like, it's a shack. Like it was a tool shed, but it has AC. So, and it's underneath the cover, the garage. So I worked in there. But I put all restoration hardware in there, made it nice.
I mean, as you should, like you're in there all the time.
In there for 2 years. I'm going to make it kind of nice.
So 2 years.
2 years. Yeah.
What was the darkest moment of that build?
When COVID really went full swing. Cause I got the keys February 2020. On Valentine's Day.
Stop.
And by March, everything was like, shutting down. And then in March or April, I had to shut down my Alphalete gym that was open because I had a gym open down the street that was like 17,000 square feet that we were going to move into Alphaland. Mm. And that was going to become Alphaland. Mm. So I had to shut that down. But I didn't want to – so the members, I just like didn't charge them. So I'm eating money, all that money. I'm eating $110,000 a month for Alphaland just for the building. Just to have the land, like $110,000 a month. And then that's no – construction furniture, that's no employees, that's no crews, that's no anything. So by like mid-summer, when I walked out of the shack and there was no employees on site, and I had a partially demoed building and no help, that was wild.
How do you?
And my gym was closed.
I can't even imagine.
And I'm funding, I don't have any investors or anything. So it's all my savings. Is keeping me alive.
How do you stay confident in your vision when everyone is telling you you're insane?
It's like, man, with everything I just said, it's like, and you said that, I'm like, blind luck, I guess, like blind faith.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I think a lot of times I attribute a lot of my earlier success to like, not stupid, uninformed or like kind of, you know, I wasn't really scared. What was I going to lose? I didn't have anything to lose, really.
Do you regret doing it?
No, not at all. I'm like impressed with my young self. Like it's motivating to me.
How did you and Heidi maintain a relationship during that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, and that was definitely the 2022 to 2023, I'll say, because we started dating in 20. It's been 7 years. I know. I'm just doing the math. It was end of 2016 then, like December 3rd. But so first 4 years, she was in San Antonio. I was in Houston. We commute. And then she ended up moving to Houston for about a year. And then she's the reason I bought Alphaland. Because I was looking at buying this building for Alphaland. It was beautiful. I worked on for like 8 months. I did all the architecture plans. It was all like a done deal. And then all of a sudden, I'm 100 full price. Like, I'm not even trying to negotiate. I'll pay you the full price you're asking, right? This guy, you know what? I just built this. I don't really want to sell it. So after all that time, so I was I was talking YouTube about it, this whole thing. Like, I remember laying in a box in my warehouse, just like, what the fuck? Like, that was a lot of wasted energy. And then maybe like a month later, my landlord had come or called with like I have a really oddball property. This thing's weird. This thing's 18 and a half acres. I'm like, I don't fucking want 18 and a half acres. I want a gym and an office. I want it to be one building, like 70,000 square feet, gym on the bottom floor, and my office overlooking the gym. That's what I want. And he said, it's got a lot of maintenance. And I'm not a handyman.
You're like, I'm a visionary.
I don't know how to do shit. So that sounds like the worst. But Heidi was like, let's go see it. She's so positive. She's the most positive person you'll ever meet. So let's go see it. I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. As soon as I walked in, and like, as soon as I walked out of the first gym into the, like, what'll connect into gym two, I got it done. I'm buying it. Wow. So like, yeah, so that was that. The decision was instant, and they wanted like $12 million. I got it down to 8.5.
I was about to ask you how much it was.
8.5, I got it for.
Wow! Oh my god!
The whole everything.
Okay, and then how much ultimately did you put in?
20 was my all-in final cost with the land.
And tell me now.
And I only asked for $1 million of spend money from the bank.
Stop.
And I thought I'd spend like $2 million. If I spent 8.5 on the building, I thought I'd spend like two, maybe three.
Spend two on a house.
It went up to 20. Stop. But when I was in it, I was like, I get one shot to build this permanently.
Yeah.
And like, this is going to be it.
And it's your legacy, building like you did. For everyone who doesn't know, it's a gym. You've got stores. You've got restaurants, offices.
All the Alphalete headquarters is there as well.
So you built this building that's your legacy that will last forever, but beyond you, it's for everyone. You feel like it was worth it.
Well, and it's for the people that, like, literally the community that I was born in.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, I mean, all the high schools, it's all right there.
That, like, must be such a special feeling.
Yeah, well, I've never said that because I haven't really thought about it like that, but now, yeah, it is.
It is. It's a community building.
Yeah.
It's so special.
Yeah.
You touched on this a little bit, actually a lot of it, with Max. You talked about your struggle with Adderall, which I really applaud you for talking about because I actually think it's a really common issue.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more common than like people will admit or think.
I'm pretty sure everyone in LA is on Adderall.
All the time.
All the time. Fee and I were discussing it in college. I was using it.
Well, that's where it all started.
Exactly.
I had a freaking final or a paper due. And I was like, a friend was like, you want some Adderall? I'm like, what is it? Oh, yeah, I'll try one. Mm-hmm. That's how it starts, right?
I remember the feeling of like my heart racing. And then you don't eat all day. You have like one sandwich.
And your fingers are kind of numb.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, but I'm so smart. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's the thing. And I also think when you have to perform at such an optimal level every single day, I'm not surprised that that happened.
Well, it's almost like when you – even because Adderall didn't even start until I was already like well into the businesses and everything. But I guess like if you use Adderall for one test and you got an A, it's like – okay, well, my next test, but even if you don't go for it immediately, but it's like, God, I'm not feeling so confident. I feel like I haven't studied enough. Okay, fuck it. Let's do one. It's fine. I'll sleep the next day.
Yeah.
Right. And then the thing with me and like my tolerance to everything from alcohol to anything is just, it like builds really quickly. And so then I actually got prescribed the Adderall. And then it was like, okay, you're prescribed 30 milligrams a day. Then you're, months later, really not feeling much anymore, like at all. So, okay, we'll bump you to 60. Okay, we'll bump you to 90 a day.
Well, because that's making them money too.
Yeah, and it's just like, and it was why I would literally get a prescription for 90 days of 3 pills a day, like strong, like I'm like, am I a horse? Like, do I need to be tranquilized or like, and I wasn't even feeling anything towards the end. Really, it just became like this, like in my own head, like feeling like I can only make any decision if I have this feeling. But now that I've been off for like almost 6 months, God, I feel like just sharper, like clear and sharp. And like, it's almost like I'm just not running around in my head for no point.
What did you feel like were the worst side effects that started to come out?
Running around in your head.
Like anxiety?
It's like I've never like really – anxiety, yeah, that is what it is. But like I guess in the moment you're just like – just in your head thinking like this over the same topic. You'll deep – it's like a rabbit hole. Every single thing from like going to the settings on your phone or like some things that don't matter are – I'm ending up spending time in, why am I in so deep on, this is stupid and a waste of my time.
Yeah.
And so it almost became like, it like amplified any frustration I would feel with myself all day.
Yeah.
So I'm just like antsy, I'm just like trying to like get my shit together and you end up just freezing.
Yeah.
That's what it did. That's what Adderall did to me. And that's why like for everybody, like, when the addiction starts, you do start to feel like you need it. Like it only gets worse. Your body starts like tightening up. You really start feeling that like times a lot more when you're taking a lot. Right.
Did you feel like your viewers noticed a difference?
When I got off?
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Like your presence on camera was different.
Yeah. And I think honestly. But the presence in my brain is different. Like, I feel different.
Well, it's almost like your brain is moving too fast for you to keep up with.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that kids are prescribed.
I know. And that's why it's like, honestly, the reason I decided to talk about it was because of that. It's like, people need to know that shit's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. Like, in no circumstance do I think we need to prescribe that.
I agree with you.
In no circumstance.
And I think people are using it for all the wrong reasons, like appetite suppressant.
Yeah, and I'm not even thinking of those things. Like, it's crazy, but yeah, to be skinny or to like, it's crazy.
Did it act as an appetite suppressant? Like, did you have an appetite on it?
At first, when you start taking it, you'll feel appetite suppressant, but on it, like, just when you get used to it, your appetite, you feel normal. Like, it's literally like you're just adding another variable into your life for no reason, because eventually, like, the appetite's present. You have to just keep taking more to keep the appetite's present feeling.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, I'm trying to get big. So, like, honestly.
Wait, so yeah, what are you're getting? Okay, so you are married. You're legally married.
Legally, yeah.
But you're getting actually married soon.
March 10th, yeah. 30-something days.
So what are your health goals right now?
I know you said health goals, and I'm just going to answer like a douchebag, because I'm trying to get to like 195, you know?
Okay, 195.
No, I'm trying to, coming off the Adderall, finishing my show, really like, and then like I was a puffed up 232. My heaviest weight before my prep was 206.
Wow.
So it's like 206, and then all of a sudden 232 was my heaviest.
How did that feel, like walking around?
I felt hard to breathe, very, very red, very flushed, very, just very uncomfortable, like, honestly. And so now, just incorporating cardio like every day, I'm just committed now for my health, not to look good, but for my health. Because that's another thing, I would just be so winded and so hot and so sweaty all the time when I'm that puffed up. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, literally, it's gross. I'm like, I don't want to, my name's for, what the hell? Like, but in the past, because I'd be competing every year, I'd almost maybe a dramatic, like, let myself go. Like, I'm just going to keep training, but I want to make the summer shredding transformation for myself, like a challenge.
Yeah.
Kind of impressed. So if I knew I was doing a show every year, I'd kind of just be like, fuck it, let's go all out from either way. But now it's my first year where I don't have a show planned or for next, really, until I feel like doing one, I'll do one. Mm. So I'm not going to like chill at that uncomfortable
almost
state.
Almost more of like a lifestyle approach.
Yeah. Like, and I've never like maintained. I've either been bulking or cutting.
That is crazy.
For 15 years.
Because Christian, no one else is doing that. Like, you're still doing it, which is crazy.
Yeah, I guess I...
Like, you are such a anomaly.
I think it's because I just stay in my bubble. Like...
Yeah.
Like, when all the 2020 to 2023, all the crazy things that would happen, like, I didn't know. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
And the bulk and cut, it almost, like, it feels like it keeps you in control and, like, it makes you feel productive.
Yeah, because I'm working towards something.
Yeah.
Maintaining sounds like you're stagnant. I hate that word.
But it's not easy. Actually,
no, I know.
It's actually kind of hard. That's like, it makes it hard.
Well, I'm convinced that I can maintain a very, I'm so annoying, but I feel like I can, once I get to like a good level, then I'll push a little further. And then I'm gonna like, see if I can maintain that. And then I'm gonna see if I can like build slowly with that. But it has to be very meticulous to do that. But I'm curious to see if I can do it.
You're gonna like accidentally prep.
I'm gonna accidentally get so shredded and then like be shredded forever.
Your next YouTube video is gonna be like, let's go, maintaining phase. So on your 30th birthday, mm-hmm. you set
10 goals.
10 goals. You signed a contract with yourself.
Yeah.
Talk us through that. How are they going? Have they changed?
Interesting. Yeah. So the 10 goals, that is the peak. When I was filming that video, that was with Justin all through January of this past year. It took us like a month and a half to film it. But that was definitely the peak. I'm going to say like the in my 20s, Christian. The can't stop, big, 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 go, go, go. And that was like before this really like eye-opening 2023 year. With that said though, I signed a contract to myself, 10 goals, one with the number one, and they're kind of almost in order of importance. Number one, 1,000 YouTube videos in 10 years. Why? Because when I'm making YouTube videos, I know I'm happy. When I let myself get dragged into the stuff I don't need to be in, mm-hmm. I'm literally just not happy. Like, if I'm off YouTube, you know, Christian's not, something's going on, what's up? Because mm-hmm. I just love making videos. Mm-hmm. So I knew that that would commit me to a better life. So, like, that's number one. Number two, like, and so, in short, some of the goals were, like, monetary. Some of the goals were, like, starting a charity. And the 10th goal was being present, which was something I didn't do in my 20s, I feel like, very well. So it's like, I'm well on my way to a few of the goals to be checked. With that said, I know I have 9 more years to make. So I think a big thing is like, though I've said 10, and I challenge myself to like put my brain in the mode of thinking that far ahead, will they change? I don't know. We'll find out as we go. But I know I'm going to keep pushing every day to like, if they are going to change, it's only going to be to accommodate. It's not going to be more impressive. It'll accommodate like my life more.
Yeah, you know? Because in reality, you don't need to make YouTube videos.
I'm good with money. I'm good with this. So it's like I really just really enjoy. I'm like highlighting. I'm focusing in on my passion projects, which are going to be summer shredding and videos. Those two.
I like that you're kind of going back to your roots almost.
And Alphaland. That's the second one.
And Alphaland. Alpha, yeah. And Alphaland, which I'm excited to see today, by the way.
Thank you.
What's next for Alphalete?
Alphalete, really, it's been on such a – that's been like where almost all of my time is gone for the last decade. Or it's our 9th birthday actually next week for Alphalete.
Oh,
so it'll be 9 years coming up. But that's been like – because that was all, that was the money made. That was the biggest brand. That was the – where all of my, I'm CEO, like that's the big one. But for that one, kind of like you touched on finding the right people, it's taken me 9 years to get those people. But now, and also understanding once you get those people may, it's always evolving. The work chart. Jesus, that work chart.
Org charts?
The work charts with the titles, with who reports to who.
We are so bad at titles over at our company.
You're going to have to.
They care. They really care.
They really
care. We're like, oh, you could be director of this, like chief of that. We don't even know.
That's going to be your next like 5-year headache.
Yeah. It has become like a headache already.
This is why when I say people, and if I put it, it's like people. That's that. But I love like people in the form of like entertainment, YouTube value. But then there's like the people in office. And, like, I'm really trying not to do that. So I'm trying to, like, focus on, like, the stuff that makes me, you know. But that is definitely the but I've put really good people in play this year. And, like, now that we've finished the performance reviews for the end of the year, we've finished work structure. Like, we pretty much – I took the month to make a full new work chart. We're talking to everybody. Mm. We're looking at what we did wrong. And then now it's, like, we're about to have a huge meeting. All 110 employees are going to be in the room. And then me and the HR lady are going to sit up front. I talk vision, we talk policy, we talk just kind of overall recap and get everybody on the same page. And then honestly, there's going to be in 6 months, in the middle of the year, we'll do another kind of adjustment. Because I already, like when I do the work chart update, I'm really doing the 2-year from now work chart update. But you have to do like these sequences of like, okay, scenarios. It's like, this is the ideal work chart. Mm. That's going to like free up all of, or most of my time. But there's like multiple stages to get there. And then there's like question marks on these people, these places that we don't have people yet, right? My experience is hiring one, developing with them 1, 2, 3 months. So really spending a lot of time with them. If you want them to be ahead, you need them to think like you think and or at least understand your logic.
Mm-hmm.
And then utilize their skill combo with your thinking and, you know, be a good manager and lead their people. But yeah, so I guess right now, Alphalete, I'm like, set up, and now I'm going to let it roll. And I'm just, like, focused on being an athlete. I'm getting content. I'm doing, like, all the athlete stuff.
Do you feel like your role has shifted from being, like, this face, public name, influencer to just being a little more behind-the-scenes CEO? Like, where do you feel more comfortable?
So when I was in, like, maybe, like, 5, 6 years ago, and I was in front a lot, it felt like the company was just – the company would fail if, like, I stopped making videos. And I feel like everything really rode on me. And so my goal was to make it not that way. And so we launched the women's range. We got more athletes. We took all the steps. And with that, like, I'm still taking photos, still talking about it. But, like, in addition, I'm doing all these things.
Yeah.
Now, when Alphaland happened, the 2020 to 2023, I went MIA, like, completely. So yeah. It's almost like, but the businesses, I went MIA off of the front face, but the businesses were, like, or at least Alphalete was still, it was like taking that. We went that year, it was like 50 to 80 million. It was huge, huge jumps while I'm like, because it was just me in the office. And yeah. I was kind of able to do that. But that also, the cost of that was me completely like being MIA. Like, and I thought that's what I, now looking back, I thought that's like what I wanted was to be behind the scenes, no attention on me, and kind of like just let the business be the business. But I don't know how to not talk to my people. And it kind of, it really, like, that's all it really is. And I started a new YouTube channel this year as well to kind of, like, just, like, not trim the fat, but I had 1 million subscribers on the other one that it kept kind of going down and up and down. It was, like, 990. It's been 990 to 1 million for 4 years, right? Between 990,000 and a million. So it's just very inactive, it feels like. Yeah. So I started a fresh one just to see like how many people would come over and like really fuck with me. Like who out of this million I've built, like who's even watching now?
Yeah.
Right. And I'm almost at 60K now on my new one. Slay. But the view ratio is like, it's crazy.
All you have to do
sometimes is like let go of your ego.
Yeah.
It's like unattach yourself from the million.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter. I'd rather have a higher ratio of people like watching me.
I think that conversation around like being the front facing influencer is so interesting. I feel like with Alphalete, most people like would not know that you're the founder, which is kind of the goal,
really?
Right? Yeah. I think so.
I think so now too. Yeah.
I see it everywhere. It's all over Golds. Like I think girls just think it's like the legging that everyone wants to wear, which is so cool. I feel the same way with Bloom. It used to be like Mari Supplement Company. Now most people don't even know who I am.
Yeah.
Like the Gen Z's buying it. They have no idea who I am. So I feel like that really is great.
You feel kind of disconnected, huh?
Disconnected isn't the right. I maybe feel like a slightly irrelevant now. Yeah. Because back in the day, like the sales wouldn't happen unless I posted. Like it really was super reliant on me. And now we have all these influences.
And it's like, it's relevant. Yeah, it's like I start to think those things.
I went through a little bit of like a grieving period with it where I was like, is Bloom mine still? Because it felt like, you know, that you go through an identity crisis when.
Yeah. It's like, am I Alphalete?
Yeah.
Am I Christian?
Gets bigger than you.
Yeah.
And it's confusing and weird to keep
up with. Especially for the owners.
Yeah, it's a super weird relationship to see your baby like out in the wild.
And then to think of selling a piece of your baby, right? It's like, it's just a whole, this is the baby.
Yeah.
But maybe the answer is like to not look at your business like a baby. Always. Or at least in all the stages.
You're like, maybe.
Maybe the answer is like we shouldn't nurture it like a baby at all times.
Maybe
we nurture the beginning and then let it grow and then we can, you know,
let
do
it
something
fly.
Different. Yeah.
Or maybe we just need therapy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, Christian. Now it's time for the question we ask every guest. I started this podcast because I believe everyone's pursuit of wellness looks different.
Mm-hmm.
What does wellness mean to you right now?
Wellness is essentially like being able to wake up every day and know that it's not dictated on the day before or this before. It's like you have to be able to start fresh every. If you didn't take your vitamins before or the day before, you forgot this, forgot that, take them today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that if you're stressed the fuck out when you went to bed, it's like it's a new day, and the first thought you put into your brain, like you can literally set the tone for your whole day just by thinking differently.
Yeah,
and to me, like that's kind of you're just being in charge of your day and not letting situations or, you know, things that happen really run your emotion. That's what wellness is.
I love it. I feel like you're in your wellness era right now.
Yeah.
Where can everyone find you online? Where can they find your businesses? Plug it up.
YouTube.com/Christian Guzman, I think. Or just search it.
Yeah, wait, what is the new channel?
But it's Christian Guzman, but like when you type it in, you'll see one with like 990,000 subs. And then you can subscribe, you can check those videos out, but subscribe to the one with like 55,000 subs.
Yeah.
Because that's the one I'm like uploading 3 times a week right now.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the main. AlphaleteAthletics.com, Summer Shredding, events.com. Our first Summer Shredding is in Chicago this year. We have 5 shows. We're giving out $130,000 at the end of the year, and a lot more. And it's for everybody to commit to their, you know, for everybody to feel the spark that we felt when you lost your 90 pounds and you had and you did that from going from 115 to like gaining some confidence. And for me, doing my first show is really what changed and made me like, holy, I can do anything. Like that's what competing did for me. And that's what an end date, an end goal. And if it's not competing, if it's a marathon, whatever that is for you, like get it on the damn calendar and just commit to it, because that will have a snowball effect. So, yeah.
Thanks for joining us on the Pursuit of Wellness podcast. To support this show, please rate and review and share with your loved ones. If you want to be reminded of new episodes, click the subscribe button on your preferred podcast or video player. You can sign up for my newsletter to receive my favorites at marilewellen.com. It will be linked in the show notes. This is a Wellness Out Loud production produced by Drake Peterson, Fiona Attucks, and Kelly Kyle. This show is edited by Mike Fry, and our video is recorded by Luis Vargas. You can also watch the full video of each episode on our YouTube channel at Mari Fitness. Love you, pal girls and pal boys. See you next time.
The content of this show is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for individual medical and mental health advice and does not constitute a provider-patient relationship. As always, talk to your doctor or health team.